Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashon class learning. We are, this Friday, of course, is Rosh Chodesh Av, and we will begin our mournful period of the 9 days. So let us open up to the Tfilah Al Hadibur, right inside the inside flap, please. Ribbono shel Olam, Yei Ratzon Lefanecha, Al Rachem V'Chanun, Shetizakeni Hayom U'V'Chol Yom, Lishmar Pi U'Lashoni Milashon Hara U'Rechidus, V'Ezahar M'Ledaber Afilu Al Yishyachi, V'Kol Shekein HaKal Yisrael, O Al Chedek Mehem, V'Kol Shekein M'Lehisra'im Al Mido Sav Shel HaKol Shmarchu, V'Ezahar M'Ledaber Divrei Sheker Chanufa Machokas Kaas, Gaiva, Honas Dvarim, Harbanas Panim, Leitzanus v'chal libra aser v'zakeni shelo v'daber k'im davar hatzarich l'inyane gufi v'nafshi v'yu kalm asai v'diburai l'shem shemayim amin halvai v'yadoni l'ilu nishmas and l'zecha nishmas tzvi gershem b'nyo v'chan ala v'sham is nisham v'shehav a continuous aliyah. Listen the merit of our learning. And also, with your permission, continue b'sor stov v'sor refuah for bracha v'gal v'srachel yitza b'soch sh'archo v'yisrael. So we just read in Pirkei Avos on Shabbos. We're on page 102 of the Sefer, and we're going to go to page 102 of the Sefer. But two Mishnayos that stood out, particularly relevant to our everyday lives, and specifically this class. Okay, we read, one second. Shammai Omer, Asei Torascha Keva, make your learning permanent, and Mar Ma'at Va'asei Harbe. You need to only speak a little and do a lot. The key is not to how much we speak, but rather to how much we do. Ve'evi Mekabas Kol Adam B'Sever Panam Yafos. And you should greet every person with a pleasant countenance. This, of course, goes along with Kol HaDibor. If we speak kindly to others, if we think kindly of others, we will end up greeting them with a pleasant countenance. Think about it. You could tell so much about a person's mood. When a person's angry, when a person's speaking Divrei Kas, we just dive into not speaking. Their face takes on a totally different appearance. There's a certain look or appearance when a person is bekas, and their words are reflected based on how his face appears. So therefore, my point is, what is the first part of the Mishnah have to do with the second part of the Mishnah? Amar ma'av aser be, speak a little, do a lot. Hey, v'makabos, call them b'sever panem yafos. It's directly related to your speech. The countenance, the shining of the face, or the anger of the face, is directly related to the speech, which is related to the feelings of a person. The emotion, the emotions, the emotive state at that time. If it's anger, it's reflected in the face, it will be reflected in the speech. If it's tranquility and love and ahavas abrius, it will be reflected in the face, and it will be reflected in the speech. It's interesting. The Mefarshim point out that it's Shammai who teaches you, have a mekablos kol adam b'sever panem yafos. You should greet every person with a pleasant countenance, because Shammai is known for his kanas, if you will, his machmir position. When you have psak of Hillel and a psak of Shammai, Hillel is always the one who is more forbearing. That's what the Gemara says in Eruvin, Yergimel, Aluvin, Nochlin, Va'aluvin, more forbearing, more forgiving. Shammai says you can't teach a convert on one foot the Torah. Hillel says you can't teach a convert on one foot the Torah. They have two different approaches, where Shammai is known as the strict letter of the law, if you will, much more strictness. So it's fascinating that Shammai, who teaches Uhevi Makabas, called him Sever Panim Yafos, you would think that's going beyond the letter of the law. Dealing with somebody with a pleasant countenance as related to speech, and mar ma'ava ase harbe, you would think that's beyond the letter of the law. But the fact that it's Shammai who teaches you, hevi makabos, called them b'sever panem yafos, teaches you that is the letter of the law. It's not going beyond. It's not the midah of Hillel, who is more forbearing. It actually is the letter of the law. Good morning. Welcome. Brucha haba'a. So something very important to keep in mind, and certainly you know that people, there can be an angry look and there can be a pleasant look, and that ends up being reflected in the words. You know, it's like kids who say, I don't like when you look at me with that face. What face? I didn't say anything. Or when the child says, Mommy, what's wrong? Mommy didn't say anything. How do they know something's wrong? It's reflected where? In the face, before the words even leave your mouth. Therefore, amar ma'at, you don't need to speak, asay harbe, you need to do a lot. However, himim akabos called him sefer panim yafos, the midos, the internality, the emotive state is reflective in the face of the person. And Shammai himself says, you have to greet every person with a pleasant countenance. It's not lifnim mishur sadin, because it's Shammai, it's din. The second mishnah that is relevant for our learning and relevant for every moment of life, Shimon beno Omer Rabban Gamliel. Shimon ben Rabban Gamliel Omer. Kol yamali gadalti bein hachachamim, lo matzati leguf tov mishtika. All my days I've grown up amongst the sages, and I found nothing better for the body than silence. Not the learning is not the ikka, but rather the doing. And everyone who speaks a lot brings in. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, One of the worst consequences, after this paragraph from Shem Shem Fahish, we're going to go into the Sefer. One of the worst consequences of profuse talk, we just read, Lo matzasi miguf laguf tov mishtiga. Two Mishnayos ago, we read that Amar ma'av ase harbe. One of the worst consequences, says of Shem Shem Fahish in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, of profuse talk, is that people who have spoken long and much and zealously of and on behalf of a cause may persuade themselves that this alone constitutes action. They speak about what they're going to do and the changes they want to bring. They speak long and much and zealously of and on behalf of a cause may persuade themselves that this alone constitutes action and should avoid. In other words, what do they think? I speak so much about something that I don't need to take action. It's enough to talk about things that I want to do. It's enough to talk about the things that I should do. I don't need to do them if I talk about them. And should a voice within them accuse them of being remiss in their concrete effort for the cause, they will calm their conscience. They will recall the enthusiasm and the brilliance with which they carried on the discussion of the matter at hand. So speech not only can harm or persuade others of the people that we are, but also it can change our own outlook vis-a-vis ourselves. It tricks us into thinking that we are somebody that we're not. We speak much, we say a lot, maybe we're not even doing what we're supposed to be doing, but we convince ourselves, or rather the Yetzer Hara convinces us, that profuse talk constitutes action, and how dangerous that is. Okay, we are on page 102. Any questions or comments? So far? No? Okay. So we're really in the middle of page 102. So let's go to the fourth line, okay? Even though we're in the middle, I know exactly what we're up to. I have it underlined with my thing. Yeah, I think I know where we're up to, but let's just go back a little bit. Fourth line. Vilifamim, Lashon Hara, Vilifamim, Rechilas, Vilifamim, Divrei Sheker. So at times he transgresses Lashon Hara, at times Rechilas, at times lies, Leitzanus, mockery, Vilifamim, Onas, Tvarim, verbal oppression. These are all things we've spoken about in class. Vilifamim, Gam Habanas Panim. Sometimes you're involved in embarrassing somebody, and we know that it's better to be thrown into the Kirshan Aishan to embarrass your friend in public. We learn that from Yehuda and Tamar, v'lefamim divrei chanufa, words of inappropriate flattery. So again, one of the things that we try and do, and I think we perhaps reiterate this every class based on the Chavetz Chaim, I should say one of the things the Chavetz Chaim tries to do very much is to teach us that the isur of dibur is not just Lashon Hara, the typical way that we understand Lashon Hara, but there are so many categories of forbidden speech that fall under the umbrella of slanderous speech. We have here a few examples. Verbal oppression, mockery, lying, embarrassing somebody, flattery, matsui shem shemayim levatala, saying the name of Hashem for no reason, afil b'lashon laz, even in a different language, hu gam kein isur gadol. It's a very grave sin to say the name of Hashem even in a different language. So how much is dependent on koach hadibur? Like Shandy says, sometimes it's better, you think it's better not to talk. It's not true that it's not better not to talk, because it's the koach of man with which he was invested from the time of Maisa Bereishis, Bereishis 2:7. But La Maisa, it has to be exercised with great, great caution. And unfortunately, that is when we become Nechshal. Rabbi Lau says, one second, please. Because it's Rabbi Lau, because it is so difficult to guard one's speech, God placed the tongue behind barriers, the cheeks, the lips, and the teeth. That's Yalkut Shimoni, actually, quoted by Rabbi Lau. The cheeks, lips, and teeth are supposed to be barriers for the tongue. They're supposed to be the gate. I don't know. How come we don't see them as real gates, as real barriers? A gate, you need a passcode, you need a key, there's a sentry standing guard. We have no problem opening up the barriers. Maintaining silence is so difficult, and therefore its reward is correspondingly magnificent. The Baal Shem Tov taught, some say it was the Ari, if a person maintains silence for 40 days, it becomes imbued with Ruach HaKodesh. Divine inspiration. Our sages praise silence at length, saying silence is good for the wise, is from Psachim. How much more so for the foolish? It's good for the wise. If it's good for the wise, how much more so for the foolish? A word is worth a selah from Maseches Megillah. Silence is worth two. Siag lechach mashtika. That's also from Pirkei Avos. And what is a person's skill in this world? To act as though he was a mute. Let's go on. Right, v'lifamim divrei kas. Oh, here we go. And sometimes it can revolve around the words of anger. We already related that to the first Mishnah we saw, which is Parak Aleph, Mishnah Tes Vav, and that is related to the fact that we need to speak a little, do a lot, and even Makabos called them b'sever panim yafos, because that sense of anger can be felt before it's even expressed as words on the face as well. Shematzuya ayadeza machlokas v'odas dvarim v'od kamadi isurim, because what happens when you are involved with words of anger? It's not only words of anger. From there, you're going to come to machlokas, and we have to flee from machlokas like we're fleeing from a fire. Onas dvarim, verbal oppression. You might come to verbally oppress the other person you're in the machlokas with. V'od kama isurim, and there are many other isurim that you will transgress. So I wanted to quote a story, actually, from Rav Belsky, Zatzal. I had it in here, so instead of bringing my whole another book, it would just be easier. One second, I have to turn off an airplane mode just so I could load the story. It's loading. Talking about fleeing from machlokas and from ka'as, okay? Yehuda Rav, Yehuda Kravitz, headed the OU's kosher meat industry supervision for 10 years as the Rav HaMachshir. So he worked very closely with Rav Belsky. He said, quote, Rav Belsky's genius in learning and psach halacha, and he was a genius in learning and psach halacha, something we can't fathom, was surpassed by his greatness in midos. Imagine. He was the Anav Mikol Adam, the most humble of all men. I saw evidence of this in many instances. I saw how visiting Rabbanim would insult him, and he would not react. He never said a bad word about them, not in their presence, and not after they left. His only interest was in clarifying halacha la'amito, the truth of halacha. When other distinguished poskim disagreed with his psak, he was ready to discuss it with them. He was prepared to retract his psak if he could be proven wrong. It was not about my psak. It was what he deemed to be the Torah's viewpoint. If it could be shown that he was not correct, then so be it. Whether or not his psak was popular meant nothing. Whether he received honor or insults was irrelevant. He was interested solely in the truth, nothing more, nothing less. I never saw him display a trace of anger, the rakas. There were instances when he had every reason to become angry. Once a visiting rabbi was disrespectful, and he was becoming angrier by the minute, not Rav Belsky, the visiting rabbi. When it became clear it would be impossible to carry out a reasonable discussion, what did Rav Belsky do? Instead of responding, he got up and left the room rather than respond. I saw this happen only once. All other times, he did not act at all. It's as though the insults were being directed to somebody else and not him. I personally witnessed how Belsky accorded honor and spoke pleasantly to Rabbanim, who had acted towards him with disrespect. When he met them, it was as if nothing had happened at all.
This was from his book?
Yeah. Did you read it?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there's a biography out of Rabelsky, a new arts for biography out of Rabelsky. That's where it's brought down from. So Divrei Ka'as will lead you to Machlokas. It will lead you to Onas Dvarim. It will lead you all Kama Yisurim. Of course, it's very hard. We're human beings, and none of us are near the level of a Rabelsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. But it's really the essence of being Mavir Al Midosa, which is so important when it comes to Shmir Salash. And if one can be Mavir Al Midosa, which means we speak about it. When you're insulted, you should daven. It means, how would you translate Ma'avel Midosav? Let it go.
Right.
Yeah, is that how you would translate it?
Let it slide.
What?
Let it slide.
Let it slide, let it go. These are the ultimate examples. Because what will happen if you become embroiled by those insults, you'll led to Lashon Hara, Rechilas, Divrei Sheker, Leitzanus, Onas Dvarim, Halbanas Panim, you'll come over in all of these. Ka'as machlokas anasvarim. So only one time when he saw that the man truly could not be reasoned with, he walked out of the meeting rather than respond. He never even said a bad word about anybody, even if they insulted him. Not in front of him, and not once they left also. The ultimate ma'avir al midosav. V'kol zeh merumas b'masha amar hakasuv avon akve yisubeinu. It's a pasuk from Tehillim. You could look in the English. The sins that I trample on with my heel will surround me. So the sins, it's like on the bottom third of the page, the sins that I trample on with my heel will surround me. So those things that we consider unimportant, the things that we trample on, those are the sins that will come to surround us. V'hainu mipnei, good morning, ribui ha'ninyanim, sheyesh v'koch ha'dibur shematzui la'avar alemai, because there are so many matters, ribui ha'ninyanim, there are so many matters associated with the power of speech that it is matzui la'avar alem, it's very feasible to be over on them. V'im yizdamein sheyinatzel, you have to look at this line inside. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth line from the bottom. I'm on page 102. 1, 2, 3. The sixth line from the bottom of page 102. In my own sefer, not only did I underline this, I put this whole thing in a circle, and then I underlined it, and then I made an exclamation mark. V'im yizdamein sheyinatzel shavua achar. Hu kim apadarach meis. It's almost a miracle. A neis min ha-shamayim, if you can withhold for 1 week without being over in the sins of Korach HaDibur. And Shemir Zal Hashem. V'chodesh v'shana, you want to withhold for a whole month? A whole year? B'vadai lo yinatzel. It's not possible. You're not going to be saved. Certainly not if you don't take upon yourself chovat ha-shmira. That's what this whole sefer is called. The chova, the obligation of shmira, to be on guard. The chova, like we just read in Rabbi Lau, to understand that the reason the tongue is behind, think of your tongue. Close your, well, I can't talk when I'm doing that, but close everything. Pay attention to your anatomy. It's like gates. I have cheeks, lips, I have teeth. My tongue's supposed to be back there. Chovat hashmira means the obligation to be on guard, like a shomer, like a guard. We spoke about that last time. So if you're saved for a week, it's an ace. Kimat. A month, a year, b'vadai lo yinatzel. That's if you're not on guard. It's not possible that if you're not aware of the situation, you won't be saved. Masha ain't Cain. However, when you accept upon yourself the chovis hashmira, then you stand a chance. At least you stand a chance. Oh, and certainly when you say, when we say this at the end of davening, every single day. Why do we say at the end of Shemona Esrei every day? Every day we daven for chovis hashmira. As you leave tefillah, as you leave amida, as you leave your conversing with the Ribbono Shel Olam, what do we say? Elokai, my God, nitzor l'shoni meira, guard my tongue from bad, from evil, usfasai medaber mirma, my lips from deceit, v'lemekalalai nafshi sidom, to those who curse me, let my soul be quiet. What do we just speak about in terms of Ravbelski and Divrei Ka'as and Mechokas and Runas Dvarim? V'lemekalalai nafshi sidom, dom is to be quiet. To those who curse me, let my soul be silent. That's the Indian of Mavir Amidosov. Just hold your tongue. It's not worth it. Don't answer back. Such a high madrega. V'nafshi ka'afra l'koltia. My soul should be like dust to everybody. B'sachli be. So what should I do? I should be zocha to guard my tongue from bad. And my lips from deceit. And those who curse me, I should not react. I should be silent. I'll let my soul be like dust, everyone. So what do I want? To open my heart. B'sachli be b'sor secha. And what should I run after? Not after machlokas. Not after kaas. Not after leitzanus. Achrei mitzvos secha terdof nafshi. I want one thing to run after, your mitzvos. And all who rise up against me and all thoughts upon me for bad, annul them quickly and destroy their counsel. So once again, you see this idea of v'lemakalalai nafshi sidom, the important inyan of being maver al midosav, how would you translate maver al midosav? He passes over his own inclination, his own midah, his own feeling, for the sake of Shemayim. Is that how you would translate it? I think so. Okay? You daven for that. Mivakish da belev shalem. Ask for it with a complete heart. She yisayu Hashem yisparach li natzel mechei. That Hashem should help you. You have to daven that Hashem should help you and save you from sin. And if you recall, one of the most, I said, powerful teachings that Hani Machas brings down, I have the book in front of me to quote something else from it, maybe soon. One of the most powerful teachings that Hani brings down, Allah Hashem, is that Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. Who remembers the end? He was punished because, I've quoted it before, Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. Korach was a Baal Kina, Taiva, Kavod. Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. But why was he punished? Because he didn't ask Hashem to help him change. He wasn't punished for the midos he was born with. We're all born with certain midos. Some people have more of a tendency towards kas. Some people have more of a tendency towards savlanas. He wasn't punished because he was Korach, and he was a Baal Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. He was punished, as any, because he didn't ask Hashem to help him change. And that's really what the Chafetz Chaim is saying here. You're davening every single day. What are you davening for? Do you just race off the words because it's the end of the Amida and you try to have Kavanah in the whole first part and now I have to go here and I have to go there and do I have time for Asher and Uval Letzion and after Shemona Esrei? I just have to get to what I'm saying. But what are we saying? Netzara Shoni Mera, Sosai Medaber Mimra, L'mekalalai Nafshi Sidom. Nafshi kafir lakol tia, daven for it. Mevakesh that believe shalem, she yisa'eu Hashem yisbarach, and it's amechei. Korach wasn't punished because he was korach, he was punished because he didn't ask Hashem to help him. Ukvar amru chazal masechas yuma, habali tar mesayinu, so famous gemar, he who comes to be purified, he will be up. So if Hashem sees you really want it, you really want to guard your mouth, so he'll help you. So what happens, l'maisa, sometimes we're still nechshal. It's very hard. You should know certainly Hashem will help you. Shelo yikashal behen, that you will not sin. So I want to bring you down something so interesting in this week's parsha. The Rav Eli Melech made a bitum in Bigzan. Actually, not this week's parsha, but last week. Well, last week I mean 2 days ago. And he actually speaks about in Parshas Pinchas this inyan of shame. Ma'avriel Midosov is really required when a person feels shame. That was the example of Rav Belsky. Well, for him, he wasn't shamed. But for somebody else, you would consider it shame. Someone comes into your office, someone comes into your territory, and they start insulting you to not answer back. Okay, he didn't feel shame, but a normal person would feel shame. The Midrash states, okay, this week's past Parsha was Pinchas. Pinchas was the grandson of Aaron Cohen, little less known, is that he was also the grandson of Yisro from his mother's side, and he rose up and he killed Zimri and Cosby. Now, his real mida was the mida of Shalom. Why? Because he's from who? His grandfather. Every mida mida of Shalom, Oh, Shalom, Rode of Shalom, always a bris of Makar in the Torah. Pinchas was really a man of Shalom, but how did he act? With MS or with Shalom when he killed Zimri and Cosby? Well, he didn't act with Shalom, ladies.
Why? It's really causing Shalom. There's so much strife, you know, amongst Kali Yisrael at the time. So by...
He didn't act with Shalom. He acted with MS. Emes was lo tinaf, emes was anochi Hashem akach, and emes was yelacharim acharim lo yelacharim Elohim acharim al panai. He acted with emes, which is why Hashem gave him the brisi shalom. Hashem balanced out his action of emes with the covenant of peace. Many reasons. He acted with emes. Emes is kazona yaseh sechoseinu, except in this case he was men. He acted with the midah of emes, and he needed to be mavri al midosav. The poor points out his lineage 2 times. Right at the end of Balak, vayar pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron hakoin, vayakom and then in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, it tells you his lineage once more again. Who was he really? He was the student of Aaron. He was the grandson of Aaron. He was the progeny of Aaron. Who's Aaron? Ohiv Shalom. Aaron is the man of peace. Pinchas acted contrary to his midos. He was mavri al midosa, which midah? Shalom, to defend the emes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Medrash states, listen to this, Rav Binyamin brings down, Pinchas is Eliyahu. This means Pinchas is Eliyahu Navi. He lives on forever until Mashiach's going to come. Today he lives. So how do we understand this? So the explanation is as follows. The Gemara Maseches Chagiga. Listen to this. It relates to our learning, obviously. Mavri al Midosav. We're talking about a relation to Korach Adibur. But anytime one is Mavri al Midosav, what's his reward? But specifically, this will help us envision the reward for being Mavri al Midosav. So many times we're put in a situation where we want to answer back. When people say things and we want to open our mouths, we want to let loose of the cheeks, unlock the gates, the lips, the teeth. So the Gemara repeats a conversation between Rav Bibi Bar Abaya and the Malach HaMaves. Rav Bibi Bar Abaya asked him, when someone dies before his time, Rechman Lutzan, what do you do with all those extra years? The Malach HaMaves told him that sometimes it happens that people die before their originally planned time, Rechman Lutzan. Rav Bibi Bar Abaya wanted to know, so what do you do with all those years that the person should have? I'm putting that in quotes because it's a little hard for us to understand what it means that he died before his time, but we daven for that. We say that on Rosh Hashanah. Mi bekitzo, mi lo bekitzo. There is such an inyan and the person dies before the originally planned time. What do you do with all those extra years? Those should have been years in Olam Hazeh, and that person didn't live those extra years. The Malach HaMaves replied, I find a Torah student who is Mavir al-Midosav, oh, you know how it's translated here, goes beyond his limits, and I give him those years. So the Maharam Sheikh explains, in the days of Pinchas, how many died in the plague, who remembers, right at the end of Parshas Balak, very last thing we're told, in the days of Pinchas, 24,000, Rashi tells us in Parshas Pinchas, they were all from the tribe of Shimon. Rashi tells us they're all from the tribe of Shimon. But Lamaisa, 24,000 people died in a plague before their time. Where did all those years go? Well, you should know the answer based on what we're saying. Every years went to Talmid Chacham, at Tzadik, who was Mavir al-Midosav. Who was it? Pinchas. the tzaddik, the Gaon, the Talmid Chacham, who was ma'avir al midosav, he went beyond his nature to do Hashem's will. He was really, his nature was a man of shalom. Excuse me, what did his grandfather do in Perek Lamed Beis of Kitisa Shmos in a similar situation? And Rashi says at the time of Chet HaEgel, they were over in Arayos, Gilu Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and Shvichus Damim. What did his grandfather do? Emes or Shalom? What did Aaron, which path did Aaron take? Shalom, the Shalomdik path. Let's work it out. Moshe's coming, calm down, bring me your jewelry. His real midah, Pinchas, was to go with Shalom. He was totally mavir al midosav to put a stop to the plague, to pick up the spear of Emes. Because Mavri al-Midosev, consequently, Pinchas, I'm putting that together with this, received the lost years of the 24,000 people. Therefore, he is Elio and Navi, and he will live forever. He went beyond his nature. Furthermore, another way to understand what does it mean, Mavri al-Midosev, Revali Malach Biderman brings down, people shamed him. That's the first Rashi in Parshas Pinchas. The Shvatim said, did you see the offspring of Puti? They made fun of him. His father was, his maternal grandfather, Yisro, offered fat and calves to Avodah Zarah. And here he's being a kana for Hashem. Who does he think he is? His own grandfather was an Oved of Avodah Zarah. They made fun of him. Pinchas accepted the shame and didn't answer back. He was Mavir al-Midosav, and all the years of the people who died in the plague were given to him. The Medrash teaches, unbelievable, unbelievable, the kolach of holding your silence, locking against, closing the cheeks and the lips, and it's so hard, but the rewards are boundless. The Medrash teaches, no, listen to this is so interesting, you know, we think we deserve reward for doing mitzvos, right? Even though we just read in Pirkei Avos that you should be like the servant who serve Hashem, not al menasa kabel pras. But nevertheless, you think you're going to do something, Hashem's going to pay you back. The Medrash of Vayikra Rabbah teaches no one really deserves reward for mitzvahs because every mitzvah is already preceded by Hashem's kindness. What does this mean? The Medrash says, whoever circumcised his son before I gave him a child, you got the reward before the mitzvah. You did a bris milah, but what was the reward? The child that was born to you. Whoever built a makkah, a gate, before I gave him a roof. So very nice you put up a gate, but that's because you have a roof on your house. Whoever put up a mezuzah before I gave him a house. Whoever built a sukkah before I gave him a place. Whoever took a lulav before I gave him the money to buy the lulav. Do you understand? It's a beautiful medrash. We think, oh, I'm going to do a mitzvah, Hashem's going to reward me. He did reward you. When did he reward you? When he gave you the davar to do the mitzvah. You're only putting up a mezuzah because Hashem gave you a place to live. You're only putting up a makkah because you have a roof. You have a home, that means. You're only taking a lulav because you had the money to buy the arba minim. You only were zocha to do a bris milah on your child because you had a child. Whoever wore tzitzis before I gave him a garment, Hashem is malbish arumim. So why should he be awarded for the mitzvahs he performed? The good he already received is the reward. There's one exception, says the Chasam Sofer. When one is humiliated and he doesn't use his speech to answer back, this deed of not answering back is not preceded with kindness. In fact, it was preceded with shame, with busha, with chima, with humiliation. And for that, he deserves reward. Therefore, the Medrash states, "Bidin hu sheyatal schoro." By din, Pinchas deserves reward. Because, yes?
What's wrong with defending yourself? Why would that be?
We learned that a few weeks ago, remember? We learned it in the Sefer HaChinuch a few weeks ago about Onas Dvarim. Within the mitzvah of the chinuch and onas tvarim, that we're not on that level and that people cannot be expected to not defend themselves. This is a very high madriga. There is an extremely high madriga. By the way, please, one second. We have to understand and clarify something. We're not talking, nobody should first of all take anything from here in terms of, God forbid, abusive relationships or exceedingly harmful emotional abuse, verbal abuse. This is beyond the realm of this class. That's not what we're talking about. Somebody insults you in the moment and it's something you can look away from and it's not going to have long-term impact on a person's life. That's a different matter. So there are such situations. A cashier insults you, I don't know, small, I'm putting that in quotes because really we want to answer back all the time, small infractions that will not have long-term repercussions or ramifications on a person's emotional well-being when it is far beyond that. And chalila, whether it's a student with a rabbi or, God forbid, a spouse with a spouse or a parent with a child, when there is a pattern of verbal abuse, is known as one of the categories of abuse, we're not, that is yotzei min haklal, and we're not talking about that. In that case, clearly it, a person needs to seek professional help and figure out how to protect themselves. We're not talking about those cases. For a person on Rebelsky's level, even visiting Rabbanim for something, that's what we would think we all need to answer back. How could I let someone come here and insult me on his level, on Pinchas's level? They were able to be Mavriel Midoso. So we just have to have the idea that there is a very high madrigo when people are able to look away. But again, we're not talking about cases where there can be emotional trauma or scarring in a person's psyche from being the subject, God forbid, of verbal abuse. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the cases when it's possible to look away, but we don't want to because in that moment we feel our kavod should be defended. Okay? Obviously, if it's a person that we're very close to, or a close family relationship, sometimes we cannot let things, sometimes you can let things slide. Sometimes even in families, it's a small thing that we should let slide because answering back will yield more machokas and more kas. Sometimes we can hold our tongue and sometimes we can't. If you can, and there are no long-term psychological, emotional ramifications to the person's well-being when they need professional help, then it's kedai if you can, because you see that the reward is tremendous.
Sometimes it's like a miscommunication. You just want to clarify things.
Okay, so that's when it comes back to how we started the shir, which is Hevi Makabos Kada Basever Panim Yafos and Marma Ava Ase Harbe. It can also be based on the person's expression and the way that they're clarifying. It's very obvious. Do they mean this to stoke the flames of machlokas, or is it coming from a place of sincerity where we say it was just a misunderstanding? That's very obvious from a person's approach to the situation, a person's face, a person's facial expression. It becomes very apparent when two people are talking how do they mean to clarify in honesty and with kindness, or do they mean to lash out in anger? It's very clear from a person's face and expression. Which goes back to what Shammai teaches us. Yeah, anything else? You look like you want to maybe say something? No? Okay. Let's do a little bit more. Okay? Top of page 104, please. Let's do one more paragraph. Let's try. Blinito. Top of page 104. Deha Adam Sheinu Mekabel Atzma Chovas HaShmira. If a person does not accept upon himself the obligation to be on guard, Hagam Shekol Ish Navon Mishaer. Every discerning man can conclude, every wise man will conclude, Shebevadai Nichshal B'Lashon Upnei Ribu Hadvarim Shedibra Kol Hayom. Because certainly he will be Nichshal. He will fail with his speech because of the great many manners associated with speech every day. And I thought, and I wrote in my notes that it's almost Elul, even though it's hard to say that, but this Friday is Rosh Chodesh, Av. And we're saying at the table, Shalom Sevarachim, I said it's Av. I said, you know what comes after Av? So nobody wants to hear it right now in the middle of summer. What comes after Av? But after Av comes Elul. And this paragraph is very important because if I had to give this a subheading, this paragraph would be the subheading of self-awareness. And it's something that I talk about very often in Elul. So this is a prelude to Elul. Without self-awareness, which is really what the Chofetz Chaim is speaking about here, you can't be successful in Avodas Hashem. If you don't even know what needs to be changed, if you don't even know, if I don't even know what I need to work on, so I'm not going to work on anything. The first key is to be self-aware. Okay. Mikol Malcolm Enos Ocher Lasos Teshuva Le in the Kabbal Atzmal Kol Panim Al Lahaba Shaloli Kashalben. So if you're not self-aware in any situation, you're not even going to remember to do teshuva. I see how much this relates to Elul. And to accept upon yourself in every situation in the future that you should not stumble. Kizeu ikar tshuva, because the essence of tshuva is knowing, is remembering, is being self-aware. Shkemosha kasuv, and this pasuk we quote on the Yamim Noam Tfilos, Yazov Rasha Darko v'ish avan machshav asav. Let the wicked man leave his ways, and the man of iniquity leave his thoughts. V'yashav al Hashem v'yiracham mehu. If you return to Hashem, he will have mercy on you. So not only are we talking about the Elul coming up, but so is the Chofetz Chaim talking about Elul coming up. Even if you said Ashamnu, and even if you said Dibarnu Dofi, and you kap Al-Chev for the sins of Chovas Hashmir, Einu Zochar, so you don't really remember them. You're just saying words by rote. Because why? Because if you don't accept upon yourself to be self-aware, there is no hope. But so if, on the other hand, you accept the self-awareness and you're going to be on guard and you're going to close your gates and you're going to have a saver panu v'yasov and you're going to amor ma'a and you're going to asay harbe, is there a better typification in our day of Amar Ma'at Aseh Harbe Vehevim Makabas Kodem Sefer Panim Yafasem Rebelski. And yes, I am reading the biography, and that this Rabbi Yehuda Kravitz could say his Ga'anus in Torah and Halacha is surpassed by his greatness in Midos. How could you think that someone who was a Bakke, I mean, he knew you knew this before you read the biography. He would take the boys in Camp Agoda out for stargazing. He would teach them all about the heavens. I remember reading he would climb down into the milk vats. He knew about science. His daughter said sometimes she would wake up and there would be an animal fetus in the sink. He was waiting to take it to the bathroom to do dissections. He knew everything about Halacha. Surpassed by that. This is Midos Tovos. Because Amar Ma'at, Asei Harbe, Vehevim Makabas called them Maseir Panim Yavas. Ain a Makabal Atzma. Oh, Afilu Kamishem Aval Kishem Makabal Atzma Chovis Hashmira. Afilu Im Nichshal Blasham Behen. So when you take upon yourself to be on guard, even if you're Nichshal, even if you fail, even if you stumble, you kill Kulan Sifurin. There will be. I had to look that up in English. Minimal damage. V'yeda Amal Asos Teshuva. At least you'll know why you have to repent. Minimal damage as opposed to maximal damage. When your mouth is just going, and there's never chovas hashmir. But I want you to know something. It's a personal vignette. This past week it happened, and inadvertently, and I want to say, in a huge part, not a small part, in a huge part in regard to this class and our learning, I try, b'amitar misayino, so I try very hard, Hashem shehab avas, to really be aware of what comes out of my mouth. And this past week, totally inadvertently, like totally, I can't give the personal example, I don't want to say it, and I don't want to put it online. I was nichshal in a very non-obvious way against a person, and I can't believe I did it. And I feel like it's a little bit worse, because I wasn't even aware I was doing anything wrong. So I'm not sure which is worse. On the one hand, you could say it was b'shoge, b'meize is worse, but on the other hand, I think it's even worse if you lack self-awareness of what you're doing. Like, I was not even self-aware that what I was about to say would cause harm until after I said it, when I realized. It's very, very hard. It's a very hard thing. That's why we have to daven. We just believe shalom every day. And we daven for vilma kalai nafshi sidon. We daven to be mavir al midosav. So it's a real Indian. It's not only something for the gedolim. It is something we have to try and acquire in the small situations where we can acquire it.
And you learn, so it teaches you.
Pardon?
And you learn. And that helps you become aware of what you're supposed to be saying and everything.
What do you mean?
Well, you said you weren't aware what you were saying was the right thing. So I said, but the more you learn about Shmir's right. Lesson, the more you know.
Halavai. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam
shehakol nehiya bedvaro. Amen.
And the family, you know, I was taking a walk Shabbos afternoon. I said, everyone, I have to ask you a serious question. What should I do to make this better? Like, what should I do? I got everyone's opinion. It's a hard inyan, but there is this inyan of being mavi al midosav. And certainly the last thought that we were left with from the Chavetz Chaim is this idea of self-awareness. That the key to all of this is to be self-aware of what we're doing, what we're saying, who we're speaking to, how we show a face. It is permissible to warn people that a product is dangerous if the warning is truly warranted. Countless items are potentially dangerous if misused, and many processed foods are unhealthy if consumed in large quantities. In such cases, labeling the item dangerous is wrong. Labeling an item as unsafe is justified if a declaration is considered reasonable by normal standards. Furthermore, so you know, where would this be relevant? I don't know. I don't really buy candy, but there was recently a candy. Did you guys see it? It was burning the kids' tongues. There was this new candy that came out by a Jewish kosher manufacturer that was burning kids' tongues. So I think that would be a very good example of this. So to say that Twizzlers, or I don't know, Pashka's nibs, whatever, are dangerous. Yes, if you sit and you only eat Pashka's nibs or whatever, the candy, substitute the candy, gummy bears, whatever it is, all day, every day, then yes, it's dangerous. You're probably going to lose all your teeth, and it's a tendency for obesity, and you'll have high sugar, and you'll be a very unhealthy person. You can't label that as dangerous, because in moderation, your kids want a Shabbos treat, it's okay to have a little bit of candy. However, it's a perfect example of this. You didn't see, some of you, yes. There was recently a new candy that came out, and the company, I believe, recalled it. I think, I'm not sure, that was burning. I don't know, who knows what they put into the candy. It caused a burn in the child's tongue from sucking on the candy. So that would be a case where it is dangerous, not in large quantities, even when it happens to be a kosher Jewish manufacturer, but you have an obligation if it's justified that the declaration is considered reasonable by normal standards, and you know the information firsthand, then the information is allowed to be related. But to say that something's dangerous when it's misused, to say that regular candy is dangerous, is not accurate. If the manufacturer is Jewish, he must be spoken to first. Failure to fulfill the above conditions would render the statement lashon hara. It could cause harm to the manufacturer if you just say, you know, Twizzlers or Nibs are dangerous. So obviously you could harm somebody's parnasa, motzi shemra. It could cause harm to the manufacturer and to the consumer who would needlessly avoid the product. Okay? 1 second. One more. The most sensitive area of constructive speech is that of kashrus. Raising doubts regarding the reliability of a hechsher, this is very interesting and very relevant, and it's even more relevant we live in Chutz La'aretz, but there are different hechsherim here. There are different places with different hechsherim. You know, this is interesting, actually, this just comes up. Somebody that I know was just in a certain store, no details, and the store had products like a private store, not like a supermarket that carries items with different hechsherim, like a private store, and they had items with different hechsherim. And this person said to me, I wonder why it's not just all under the Vaad. Like, this is a Vaad neighborhood. Why do they have items with this hechsher from a different place in this store? And this person even said to me, I don't know if I would buy those products in this store. That's an interesting nekuda. When you think of this, is that statement considered derogatory? Now, maybe I'm going to think, well, you know what? Why do they have items with an out-of-town hechsher? What's wrong with the Vaad? Why can't they get the Vaad on those products? So it's not so pasha. Furthermore, this is very relevant in Eretz Yisrael. You have to be very, very careful. Raising doubts regarding the reliability of a hechsher without reliable information constantly speaking lashon hara. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's even more. Here, it's not so shayach because b'derech klal, there are the major hechsherims, and in our circles, most people hold up, but I did just give you an example of a situation that I was involved in that could infringe upon the salacha. If one has reason to suspect a hechsher is inferior, the matter should be discussed with a competent rav who can offer guidance as to how to proceed. Even if the rav suggests the hechsher should not be relied upon, it doesn't mean the hechsher is definitely unreliable. It is the rav of the community who should decide the status of the hechsher for his constituents, or else direct them to a recognized posek. This is very, very relevant. In the case of a questionable product manufactured by a local Orthodox Jew who assumes responsibility and does not operate under a hechsher, so this is not so relevant to us, extreme caution must be exercised before declaring the product non-kosher. Only the local rav or posek is in position to decide the halachic status of the item after taking all factors into consideration. Causing a Jew to close a business is a very serious matter. Preventing such a situation may even outweigh the observance of chumros generally kept by the community. So unless you absolutely know that something is really non-kosher and you consult with the rav, so I'm thinking back to the situation that I was just in. And that person, and I was actually sent a picture of the foods from the store under a different hechsher. So it's not so pasha. I don't know, I'm saying something in retrospect that I didn't even realize at the time could be a problem. But let's say, here's an example on why we talk about the dangers of WhatsApp. Let's say I would have taken that picture to a WhatsApp group with 20, 30, 40, 50 people and reposted and says, this in this store, on this in this street, in our neighborhood, has items, why don't they have the Vaad? So what would have happened? Think about that. Why would all those people see it in the Dan? Who's going to go in and buy that food product now? So it's not so partial unless you absolutely know and you discussed it with a Rav that the food is questionable. You cannot talk about the Hechsher. So even, by the way, if it's something you don't hold of, even if it's a Shechita that you don't hold of, can you go around and say it's not kosher? Not really. Okay? And in Eretz Yisrael, it's certainly very relevant. What?
She wants to know if it's recorded.
Yes. It's not bad. Oh. Okay. Have we got Besuras Tovos? Bali Tar Messiah Oso. Amen. Havai.